It's like, okay, he loves me. That stops all peer pressure in teens' life, amen. Which I will be speaking to the teens next month at a youth revival. And this is going to be real cool. Amen. The message today, receiving from within. Amen. It's kind of concluding from the last message that I was talking about, how you can't receive from your car, you can't receive from your house, you can't receive from this person loving you, this person loving you. Eventually, you're going to have to come to the senses that, you know what? God loves me. And that's the main thing that matters in my life. Amen. And I remember this one brother came up to me, and he said, and this is, I don't know, around 2004, 2005, and I was doing a lot of children's ministry things and teaching elementary classes, and this is really doing a lot of things with the youth. And I remember this one brother said, Brother Wyndham, I know you with those kids right now, but God loves you more than that. You ain't gonna always be with them kids. You're gonna be doing mighty things in the ministry. Just mark my words. And I was like, oh, okay. And what he said was not a bad thing, it was evil. But the Holy Spirit kind of placed a check in me. And he told me this. He said, you know what? I love you because I love you. I'm going to say that again. Some of you are amazing. I love you not because you're going to arrive to a destination one day. I love you right here as you're teaching children. You see, anxiety can get in our heart of what's going to be next, what's going to come next. But if you don't recognize that God has already went before you, and he is there, he is the next, he is the now, he is the past. Guess what? He is right here, right now, loving you, right in your chair. Amen? And if we don't learn how to embrace within how God loves us, his love is not earned, it's received. Amen? You know, we watched that the Mayweather and Pacquiao fight. And I know some people may still feel a little salty. So, but that's okay, you know. That's all right. We had a nice little party, 35 people, and it was just booming out. But, you know, we look and see. I was just talking to my dad upstairs about who really won the fight, who threw the most punches, who hit the most impact, who hit the most blow. You know, we are always estimating who has the victory based off of our performance. And when you come to the Lord, you can't come to God like that. You can't come to God with saying, what did I do last night to get the victory from you, God? What did I do to get the victory? The victory was Jesus dying for you at the cross. He is your champion. Amen. You know, we go to work. We see the fight. We say, okay, this person, he's the champion because he threw the most punches, right? But guess who threw the most punches at the devil? It was Jesus Christ on that cross that threw the ultimate punch that knocked out the sting of death. What do you mean the sting of death? That means there is no more separation between you and God. Right here, right now, there is no separation unless it's in your mind, unless you think that God really don't like me because I haven't done enough. God says this, I want you to receive the title right now. Receive the title that you're a good mother, that you're a good father, that he loves you, that you're the best person on this universe because you are part of his DNA. So we're trying to wait to see how many punches we can throw so we can win God's love. God's love says, I am the pro. I am the provider. The provider, see, we use this word at our job, even when I used to work at UPS, proactive, being proactive. It means it's there before you get there. It's pro, it's before you. And even with Abraham, when he was about to kill his son, I'm just talking to Mac about this, and he's about to slay his son because they need to atone for the sins of the land. As soon as he's about to do this, God says, I am your provider. You don't have to do this. I have a lamb for you to kill. Don't kill your son. I have something for you. And he is speaking that into every one of our lives. Where you think that some things are dead in your life, he's going to say, I am that pro in your life. I am that provider. I am the only one that can love you when nobody else can love you. Because my love is spiritual. It's real. The spiritual things created this world. Amen. And some, you know, I heard a minister yesterday say, how can this grace thing is backwards? How can one person take away the sins of the whole world? A minister. I can testify, okay? How can one person, and you know what? We live on this planet. We have water. We have provision. We have trees. We didn't have trees, you couldn't breathe. If you didn't have the moon, it'll be a tidal wave along America that will blow this place away. We have a sun that if it was 1 mile away, we'll freeze to death. If it was 1 mile closer, we'll burn to death. How did we get here? Explain yourself. Can you explain how the body is produced of 75% water and this earth is 75% water? Show me why the provision is here before you got here. And guess what the question will be? I don't know, but you drinking water. You breathing air. Well, how did one man die for the whole world? I don't know, but he did it. And the only thing I can just say is yes and amen. He provided for you when you could not provide for yourself. Amen. That's why they used to sing that song, yes, yes. And now I understand what they were saying. They were saying, you know what? I don't have to understand everything to receive love. Only thing I can say is, yes, Jesus loves me. Because the Bible tells me so. Come on now, I know this is good. But this is hard to receive with the mind. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and the revelation of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless, nonsense to him. When we're praising God that we can't see, can't hear, can't touch, can't feel, they look at you like you're a fool. But when your inside says, there's something more powerful than what I can see, touch, taste, feel. I always say this, the wind is blowing, but you can't see it. And love is flowing, and you can't see it sometimes, but you know it's real, amen? Like Anthony said, it's flowing through this room right now. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. When you don't have an understanding that the unseen, we say this, oh, you better stay away from that greasy grace, or that grace is, by the grace of God, this whole God does this. Grace is not weak.
Come on, man.
It's the thing that holds this universe together. It's the thing that holds your psyche together when you feel like the worst person in the world. Grace holds you and says, you have this title. You are a son. You are a daughter of mine. And I love you no matter what. But God, I have done all this. I have thrown all the right punches. Receive the title that I love you. I care for you. And I provided a sacrifice that took away all your sins. Change your mentality and not thinking that I'm just enough and I'm more than enough. Amen. I remember when me and Keisha bought our first house and I walked in. I was used to looking in the furnace room and seeing a hot water heater. My dad installed many of them in houses and stuff like that. There'd be this big hot water tank. And when we went to this house that we was about to buy, we looked in, I was kind of looking because, you know, they're trying to sell you anything, you know what I mean? And I said, where's the hot water tank? I don't see one in here. And he said, oh yeah, there's one in there. And it was this little big box, about two times as big as a laptop or whatever. I said, this ain't no hot water tank. Hot water tank is big. It looks like this, it looks like that. I gave him all the description. He says, no, this is a tankless water heater. And what it does is it burns fire on the water as soon as it comes out. So it can be always going fire on the water. And in my mind, I had to renew my mind, because when I used to come home and Keisha had the hot water on, I'm like, girl, you ran all the hot water out. I'm waiting to take a shower and you ran all this hot water out, and I need some hot water. And so I had to wait for another hour for the hot water tank to fill up. And I remember when we first got into the house, I would have that same mentality. But I had to remember now, this hot water flows forever. Okay, I'm going to bring it back spiritually. God loves and endures forever. He never runs out. Even when you run out, you think, oh, no, you got to remember. Hold on. I may have made a mistake. This other person may have made a mistake. This person may promise me this. But guess what? I'm going to still go on. God loves and endures forever. I'm going to have enough. I don't have to hold your sins in contempt because you made such a mistake. God will make it up for me.
Come on.
And I have to begin to have to change my identity when I see Keisha in the hot water. Or when she see me. Because we, I remember she said, did you run out of the house? I said, we got to take this water to you now. We don't want to think like that anymore. And that's why the Bible says, be slow. Be slow to speak. Quick to hear. What are you quick to hear? You can't quick to hear that you have a supplier that has supplied all your needs by His grace, His sufficient, His glory.
Yeah.
Not by how you used to think.
Uh-oh. That's good.
It says, but my God shall supply what? All your needs according to His riches. See, I'm thinking that He's going to give to me according to my riches.
Uh-oh.
He's going to give to you according to His riches, His glory. What did His glory says? He is sitting right now by the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible says. What is your position in your mind? Do you see yourself sitting right next to God, saying that, God, I'm your favorite. Woo, that's powerful, man. I know you love me. I'm your right hand man. You know what I mean? That's how we should be thinking. No matter how the circumstance look, the circumstance don't dictate nothing. It's what His word says to dictate something. So once you find that, hold on, I can't think the same way, because I got a burning fire inside my soul that goes on forever. This is the way I have to think now. You know, just like they've been letting people go because they have new DNA testing that can test back whether a person's hands was on somebody or strangling somebody, and they can pull them up from the grave and see if their DNA, and they've been having to let people go by the dozens and the hundreds because they found out something new. Amen. And I know people from my high school look at me, Wendell, you said that you were gonna do this with your life. You said you were gonna go this and be a wrestler. I said, well, you know, I found some new things in my life. They have changed. It's not that I was lying. You know what I mean? It's not that the people were lying when they placed them in jail. They placed them in jail because of the information that they knew. You see, Christians are placing other Christians in jail based off the old covenant and not off the new covenant. The new covenant says one person took away all your sins. So based off this new evidence, I gotta let people free. I gotta let myself free. I gotta know that I got a water burning inside of me that's never gonna end, that's never gonna forsake me, amen? I got new evidence that I have an eternal supply. But like I say, a lot of times we respond off of our old man. We try to come to Christ because of our needs, our insufficient funds. We try to respond to Him based off of our knowledge and not based off of knowing that we are the same as Him. The Bible says, as He is, so are who? We in this world. And I remember reading this scripture about the Canaanite woman. And this was a lady that, I want you to kind of imagine this in your day and time, okay? How you know the person that's in your life would have responded to Jesus if this was happening to you. Amen. It says in Matthew 15:21, it says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering and trembling and terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt down before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Ooh, my goodness. And like I said, I don't like reading this like a children's nursery rhyme. Just think of it in this day and age. Just think of a pastor came to you and came with the Jewish law saying, "Well, you know, Miles, you're not a Jew, so I can't bless you, Miles." Think of how we would have responded to that person. We'd be like, "Hold on, I know some people on my job that they would have been like this, Jesus, they've been taking their earrings off and said, Jesus, did you just call me a dog? I mean, I know you're the Son of God and all, but did I just mishear you? Did you just call me a dog?" And that's true. That's good. Mama said no. And he wasn't calling her a dog. What he's saying is, by the Mosaic law, it is not proper for me to give to you yet. Now watch this. "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." If you catch this, this is pop. She did not come proving herself by the law. She came proving herself by who he is. "You are faithful." It's not about if I estimated myself in the law to receive from you. You still good. Rather if I don't deserve it. See, some people go, "Ooh, granted her faith in this story." I used to read all the faith men. She had great faith that God was good. No matter if she made a mistake or not, you still faithful. You still forever. You still merciful. So you're going to give it to me because your word is on the line.
Come on, man.
See, a lot of us come to God and say, "See how much I've been praying? See how much tears I've been crying? See how sorry I look? See how much I've been in pain?" I showed the illustration how it's metal connecting to metal. You're connected to his goodness. The goodness of God causes a person to repent, to turn their thinking around and say, "You know what? I don't care if I don't estimate myself in being loved by the law. I know you love me no matter what. So God, you better bring it on." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith." Did she have great faith in herself? No. She had great faith in him. Okay. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at the moment. And I've stumbled up on new evidence about who God is. Even myself. I had to throw old sermons away because I keep finding out new things about how good he really is. You know, it's not that I'm a hypocrite. It's that once I find that DNA is false and I know that this is true in my life, I have to throw that away. God loves you. And his love can be manifested through many things. Don't just look at the tank of a water heater. He can love you through a different color, a different skin, someone that don't look like you. You know, we're going to have some speakers that's coming this month, and they may not have the same skin color as you, but guess what? Doesn't mean that God can't work through them. Don't look at the flesh, look at the spirit. I'm looking at God's faithfulness. I'm not looking at skin color. I'm not looking if you're a woman or a man or this or that. I'm looking at here. Do I hear love? The Bible says this is how you know that they're my disciples. By how they have love for one another. Not if they're a scholar or not. Not if they can remember the whole Bible. Not by if they have a suit and tie. And they can fool you to think they know something when they're really arrogant. This is how you know that they are connected to the vine. By how they treat you, how they love you. Some people are fooled. You know, I was at a funeral yesterday, and I've seen these four boys talk about their father, and I found out at the end of the funeral, I kind of forgot, but none of the father was their
biological father.
They wasn't their blood. And I'm thinking all this time that, you know, it was their blood. And the Lord kind of showed me something. He said, that's because you were seeing one way. They don't have to have the same DNA to receive love. They was talking about him like he had this great legacy. I'm like, he's not even that kid. He said, yes, they are. He said, you only see him one way. You see, some of you have mothers that you probably haven't seen as a mother in your life. Some of you have fathers that you haven't seen as a father in your life. You got somebody loving you like a sister, like a brother. You may not be able to see it because you're looking at DNA. I always say this, and I said, blood ain't blood till it's bleed. It sacrifices for you. That's what my mom did. I'm glad I got a DNA mother and a spiritual mom, amen. So when they give their time for you, and the more I'm starting to collect evidence, you know, it's like the island theory. And when I learned in college, the more you know, the more you know you don't know.
Right.
And you start recognizing that, oh my God, you've been there for me, Lord. You've been there for me. But just because it wasn't in a leader to beaver type of way, come on now. We say, I can only receive love if it comes like this. And if it don't come like this, it don't love me. God said, I can love you through a church. I can love you through somebody that you probably never knew before and come and fight for your case. You didn't see that person being your father. You didn't see that person being your mother. Man, that's good.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." That woman, she did not defend herself and saying, yeah, but, you know, I hear people say this, and that's how they evaluate this. We all do this, amen? You know, I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as other person is. At least I haven't done this. She didn't defend herself by her rights. She defended herself by his goodness.
Wow.
See, all the promises are yes and amen. We say it's yes and amen, but they're yes and amen in Christ. They're spiritual blessings. They're not physical blessings. You might see it as physical blessings as it manifests, but you perhaps have to catch it as a spiritual blessing. What is a spiritual blessing? God speaks those things that are not as though they were. He told Abraham, you're going to be father of many children. Before he was the father of many children. They're just words, right? And the words manifested when he believed them and he took hold to them. You see what I'm saying? He said, let there be light. Was there light here? God didn't come here and say, man, it sure is dark out here. It's void. We ain't got nothing. If you say what you see, then you have what you say, then you keep what you have, which is nothing. But if you say what he says, then you'll say something different, then you'll manifest something different.
Woo.
He said, let there be light. Then, from the spiritual realm, came forth light. What does that mean? The Bible says we're created in the same image of God. That means before something is released in your life, you must give God permission to work through you. Call yourself beautiful because he calls you beautiful. You are beautifully named. The Bible says he knows the numbers of hairs on your head. Even though I don't have any more hairs left, he knows the numbers of the hairs on my head. The Bible says that. We sing about that song this morning. He knows my name.
Well, he don't know my name if nobody else don't know my name.
I'm not important unless I'm important to 100 people. Or I'm going to get 100 likes on Facebook. He knows mine. I only need one life.
Come on now.
I'm preaching out to preach to myself. I only need one life. And that's Jesus liking me. That sets you free from worrying if everybody else gonna like you or not. I don't know what I'm preaching to. Just something about it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this. For we walk by what? Faith. And not by what? We just talked about faith, about the Canaanite woman, right? She walked by whose faith?
God's
faith. I'm walking right now by God's love. By the grace of God that's working in me, I'm walking because he loved me. I'm preaching because he loved me. I'm speaking because he loved me. I'm not speaking because I got an obligation to speak. It's a different way of life. When I say God gave me my wife by the grace of God, I'm not saying that as a cliche. I'm saying I really don't deserve her. But God loved me that much that he gave me her. I really don't deserve a mother that I have that taught me the scripture, but he gave that and it's unconditional. I really don't deserve this church to be in the church like this, but he gave it by the grace of God. It's not fighting by your flesh and saying, I deserve this because I did this. No, I'm receiving it because I believe in the faith that God loves me and he gave himself for me. And because he loves me, that gives me the power to go on. Amen. See, teaching on concrete stuff, you know, you don't take anybody to your house and say, hey, look at the foundation of my house. Look on how my house is built. This is the whole thing that's holding my house. That's boring. We don't take it to the office level. We don't take it to the living room.
Right.
But the concrete stuff is what holds. It's what holds you together. His love. You know what tears people apart? When they don't understand the foundational levels of God's love. They know the roof, they know the living room, they know everything else. But when you have cracks in your foundation and you don't really know that his love endures forever, that he is always with you, even when you close your eyes and seem like you're by yourself, he is right there. It'll cause you from not losing your mind. I know that's the truth. That's why I just want to stay in him for the rest of my life. I don't want to see myself in the flesh of saying, I deserve this. I want to say, Lord, you deserve this. Your love deserves this. I remember me and my mom and my dad were on a paper route. And I really didn't get out the car at all. I don't even know why I got out that car, Mom. I got out that car because I think he didn't throw the paper part. And here goes another dog incident. I get the paper. I heard, Brent, get back to the car, the dog coming. I'm looking, I'm like, oh my goodness, I got him. And I seen this dog, this big, boom, boom, coming at me in full charge. I said, oh man. I'm gonna have to get my flojo on there on my whoever tracks on here. Michael Johnson, I'm gonna have to get something on. And so I'm sprinting to the car and I'm running. And then I heard my parents, come on, you make it. Oh yeah, I should have got the car, got that by the house. I was running hard. My goodness, and I think I just dived in the car, and I don't know how I shed it at the same time. And that dog was like, he grabbed on the wheel, like, and then he was scratched. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I survived another dog incident. That dog was gonna try to mangle me, huh? But you know what? I use everything as illustrations of God's love. That's how when I was in that car, it was no more words. My heart rate went down. I knew I was with my parents, I knew that dog could penetrate that car. And that's how we are in Christ.
in Christ, your heart rate go down because you know that He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He will never let nothing touch you or hurt you or harm you. No matter how close it is to you, you are safe in His arms. But it's dangerous to get out and think it's by your power. You want to stay in your mind knowing that it's in His power. You know when worry and stress get on my life? When I think that I'm responsible for something. I'm responsible for this next grant coming in. I'm responsible for this church. I'm responsible for this. I'm responsible for that. I'm responsible. No, it's God that is the provider. I am here just to trust Him. If you really want to tell the truth, anybody that's there because you're there, there is no, what's this illusion? Self-made man. I'm a self-made man. I did this all by myself. Who air are you breathing? You gotta laugh at it when you really think about it. Even the most boastful boxer that I've seen on YouTube said, if it wasn't for my father, it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for my trainers, it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be nowhere. You always got somebody that's in your corner, whether you think so or not. The air that you're breathing right now is from the Father. The job that you got right now is from the Father. If you have a spouse, it's from the Father. If you have a child, it's a gift from God. Everything is a gift. Now how you choose to take care of the gift, you know, is up to you. But, you know, some people go, oh man, well, you got some broad shoulders. Say, yeah, because my dad had broad shoulders. It was passed down. Oh man, this person got great wisdom. Yeah, this is because somebody taught them how to do this. God is your provider on every means, every level. It's recognizing that I don't have to chase the golden egg no more when I got the goose, when I got the love of my soul that's with me all the time. Don't get out that car, because it's a dog out there. And the Bible says he's barking like a roaring lion, watching who he can devour. You know who he's trying to devour? People that don't cast their cares upon the Lord. That scripture says, when you cast your cares on the Lord, it's another scripture in Psalms that when you cast your cares on the Lord, He will sustain you. He will keep you. Just think about it in your mind right now. Do you think that you're responsible or God is responsible? If you can see the attachment, you will release some stuff out of your life and say, Lord, I just received that you're responsible. I don't know how this business is going to work out. I don't know how my marriage is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to work out. But I just receive you. And I say yes and amen in Christ. I don't walk by what I see. What I see can blind you sometimes. But God, your word opens my heart up to let me know that you have always been there with me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Today, are you going to receive by your riches or by His riches? Think about that. Are you going to receive because you think, you know, me and Keisha was watching the movie, and this person thought he was bad. He said, yeah, y'all better run. Y'all better back up. But it was a big army behind him. He looked back and oh. But he was just talking all stuff and boastful and all this stuff. But he looked back and he found out that the reason why he didn't talk stuff because he had people behind his back. And that's how we are sometimes. Sometimes we can forget that it's not by our power, Mike, but it's by His power. You got angels all around, camped out in this room, right here, right now, protecting you, leading you, guiding you, speaking to you. The truth is, are we hearing Him? The truth is, have we already come up with an agenda of how we going to do it before God even talks to us? We have to empty our cup and receive His cup of life. Amen? Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody, let's bow your heads in this prayer. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for this day. If everybody could just repeat after me, Father God, thank you for this day, for this fresh life that you've given us. And I receive your son, Jesus, that died on Calvary for me, for my sins to be taken away and remembered no more. I believe you, Jesus, that you rose again for me. And now I'm in you. Thank you, Father. If that was the very, very first time that you ever confessed Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, that means that you admit that, Lord, you know what? I didn't save myself, Lord. I accept you saving me, Father. Christianity.